You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dutton, it's a really weird word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the water, and I'd like to give you information, asking for me. What blood makes noise? It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome back, and you're listening to hour number two. This is Dave Hodges, the host of the Common Sense Show, joined by Katie Whalen, our health reporter, and her segment will be coming up at the beginning of the third hour, which is an hour from now. During the break, I got an email. Actually, it was before the end of Mike's interview. And our thanks go out to Mike for making himself available to us this week. But I got an email. And basically, what they wanted to know was, is there any defense against this? Can we buy gas masks and hazmat suits and stuff like that? And the short answer is, I don't know how that works. And, you know, and it's something I'll pose to Mike and I'll bring back, you know, in our news segment at some time and ask him what he thinks. But if it is a gas mask you're looking for, my guess would be that Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources would have it. So you may want to call in tomorrow and tell him what you heard and ask him what he would recommend. And his number is 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. And, you know, you really... And I'm going to say it again and again and again. 6 months to a year of storable food for every member of your family, and that's on the low end. Most people out there have 3 days, according to FEMA. Well, go to Numana.com. Go to Numana Foods, when the website is at Numana.com/Hodges, and we've got a whole range of pricing, volume. We can shop in volume. You can shop short-term, 3 months, 6 months. Grab-and-go bucket for emergencies when you got to bug out. So go to Numana.com/Hodges, one of the proud sponsors of this show. And someone who doesn't sponsor the show, per se, but someone who I believe in before it's news, has their version of the Facebook page. And, yes, are they still working out kinks? Yeah, a little bit. Pretty much it's well-functioning, but it's the alternative to Facebook. You won't see any assassinate Donald Trump pages. You won't get banned for talking about mandatory vaccines. And speaking of Mike Adams, he wrote an article about that this last week where his articles got banned from Facebook for using the term mandatory vaccine. You won't see that censorship on scene.life. And that's where you need to go to sign up. It's free. We don't take down any personal information whatsoever. It's just a place for good people of like mind to go and share information and provide support for each other. That's scene.life. Well, it's really always a pleasure when I get to have on one of my really good friends. And although I don't get to talk to him as much recently as I'd like, Roger and I have a long history together, and I'm speaking of Roger Landry from the Liberty Beacon. And he has, there's nothing I think that Roger can't discuss intelligently. Full range of topic knowledge. His Liberty Beacon project is moving at the speed of light. I believe he's up to 32 websites. It's incredible what's going on in his organization, and he's a true pillar of truth, and you can take what he says to the bank. He also has a background in security and intelligence. We're going to draw upon that background tonight because we're going to be discussing the heinous Hillary Clinton's treason. And Roger recently wrote an article that's about as damning as I thought I was hot on the trail and I'd be number one on her guillotine execution list. No, I think Roger moved to the head of the line on that one with this article. Anyway, Roger Landry, thanks for joining us on this Sunday evening. Welcome.
David, it's always a pleasure because I know damn right well when I get on your show, we put all of the pretense aside. We put all of the political correctness aside, and between you and I, man, there's a whole hell of a lot of truth coming out.
We hope so. We definitely hope so, because our 20 to 25% of people who are waking up, you know, are awake. We need to turn that to over 50% before the election, because we got a lot to accomplish.
Well, I'm a firm believer that this 25% is a number that is way underrated. Okay, I believe that between 50 and 70% of the population of this country is awake and aware, at least on some level. It's just they haven't decided to get off the couch and do something at this point, or they're afraid to do so, or they're concerned about repercussions, or they're concerned about what their neighbors might think, or their boss might think, or I won't put anything on Facebook because, hey, my boss now looks at my Facebook page to see what I say, and it could put my career in jeopardy. If you stop and look at polls that poll the American public as to their comfort level with their government today, whether we're talking about the Supreme Court, the Congress, whether we're talking about the president, it doesn't matter. We're talking about a disillusionment with the population that exceeds 70%. Okay, and in some polls, depending on what the questions asked, could bump up on 90%. So when we tell people that 25% of the population is awake and aware, I believe the number is much higher than that. I just feel we need to help a lot more of them get a spine, because they're aware of what's going on. They just haven't been harmed enough by it, or it hasn't imposed itself on their comfort bubble enough where they feel they need to get up and do something or say something or support someone like you or me.
You know, I think at some level, I think you're right. But my position is this, Roger. Knowledge that's possessed but not acted upon is wasted knowledge.
Agreed.
And I think that's where we're at with a lot of people.
And you didn't hear me basically patting any of them on the back, did you? Because I do believe that until they decide to get off their duff, and you know what Yamamoto said, and we're talking about in the 1940s, when he said, "I fear we have awakened a sleeping giant." Well, America has always been that way. Okay, we are a society that is so comfortable. We are a society that feels so privileged, although maybe not so much as it used to be when you and I were kids. But we are a society that is spoiled, bloody, rotten. And we really need to be kicked hard before we're willing to step outside of that comfort bubble and say, damn it, I'm an American, and I'm not going to put up with this. The sad part is the 25% you're talking about that's awake and aware are speaking out. The 50% additional that I'm discussing, they haven't been kicked hard enough yet. So, you know what? The Liberty Beacon Project isn't just here to educate you. It's here to give you a good swift kick every now and then, too.
I think that's well taken. It's a point very well taken.
And, can I throw something into that? Do you mind? I'm here.
Absolutely.
Is there a
voice?
Is there someone butting into our broadcast here?
There is.
Oh, Katie,
there
go ahead, please.
Totally. Yep. Roger always does that to me. You know, I agree with Roger. I think the numbers are higher and they're growing higher. I watched a video by Del Bigtree. You know who he is. He's the producer of Vaxxed. And he was standing at a press conference in front of the LA County building, and he was telling about Vaxxed and the legislation that's coming down, this mandatory vaccines legislation, and he implored people in the audience. He was yelling at the top of his lungs, "Be brave, be brave. It is now time to be brave." And I agree, we have got to throw away the chains and just say, what the heck have I got to lose?
Well, when you consider, and that's such a sterling point, but when you consider, and I did a lot of research on this and I wrote several articles about this, that mandatory vaccination is a direct violation of the Nuremberg Code. When you consider that, that in itself ought to scream volumes. And I don't challenge anybody to prove the comment I just made wrong. I dare you to prove it wrong.
Yeah.
Did you see what that jackass Gary Johnson said, who was running for the Libertarian president? Did you see what he said? At gunpoint, we vaccinate kids.
Yeah.
And he calls himself a Libertarian? I'm ashamed of you, Gary.
Well, you see how seriously he's been, being taken, and I doubt very seriously. His running mate is probably trying to find a hole to crawl in right about now and deciding that maybe he didn't make such a good choice.
Yeah, I got a lot of friends who are libertarians, and I got to tell you, they're cringing at that comment.
Yes.
Cringing. Because what's the basis of the Libertarian Party? Freedom of choice.
Absolutely.
No,
and,
unbelievable.
And, you know, this article that you talked about, this article that this show is based on, I need to tell you something, okay? I get angry about things that really, really mean something, not only to me, but mean something to this country and mean something to humanity in general. The discussion, the can of worms, the can of whoop-ups we're about to open up here. I haven't been this pissed off, David, in a very long time, because this involves 30 years of my life and all of the effort I put in to making sure that I conformed to something that I truly believed in. And I have watched that be trashed. I have watched it be trashed in such a huge fashion that the public, who is aware of the information I'm going to put out today, but not in the context I'm going to put it out today, because I'm your quote-unquote expert with 30 years of background on this. And what I'm going to tell people, a lot of it they already know, but the way I'm going to present it to them, you're going to get some jaws dropping here, David.
Okay, well, let's start dropping them, Roger. Where do we start?
All right, if you don't mind, I'm going to walk through the article because I can't possibly say it any better. Please feel free to jump in at any point, ask questions, make comments. I always value what you say. But walking through the article, I won't read it word for word, but I will walk through it because, again, this was written at a point where I was so angry, you could literally have fried an egg on my head. So let's get started with this so we can get through it before the end of this hour. I want to start with a qualifier. For most people who don't know, but people who follow the Liberty Beacon Project are already familiar with, or people who watch my TLB TV shows or listen to my radio shows or read my authored articles, I have served in the U.S. nuclear submarine fleet as a senior sensors operator and analyst, and then worked for Raytheon Services Company facilitating Department of Defense contracts for about 3 decades total. I traveled the globe in the discharging of my assigned duties with extended stays in foreign countries. During this time frame, the time frame I just mentioned, I held security clearances ranging from secret to top secret and above. This ended when I quit Raytheon and started my own computer consulting firm late in the year 2000. During this time frame that I just mentioned, one of the things I was totally aware of was the severity of repercussions associated with mishandling of sensitive or classified information. When I was initiated, and I do mean initiated, into this classified world, I was thoroughly briefed on not only the necessity for and the practices of ultimate care in the handling of each level of intel I would be granted access to, I was also thoroughly briefed on the severity of actions that would transpire if I failed in my duties to adhere to these policies. Now, listen up. Big point number one. Never, ever did it enter into the picture that I would be spared consequences if I divulged or mishandled this sensitive info by mistake, by accident, or via ignorance, or basically without intent. Gee, where have you heard that before? But let me go on. You'll have to excuse me. Seems like I do so much talking that one of the worst side effects I have here is constantly clearing my throat, and I apologize for everybody that this is disturbing. With that being said, I wish to dissect a scenario that is now getting nowhere near the level of scrutiny or intention by either the intel community or the mainstream media that it mandates, not deserves, mandates. The severity of the actions we're going to delve into in this discussion is far beyond the average person's level of knowledge, and this is quite understandable. So I'm going to do my level best to put this all into a perspective that just about anybody can understand. Let me start it off by saying I'm irate. I'm seriously irate. I'm so damn disgusted with the intelligence hierarchy that is tasked with protecting information vital to the security of this nation, that I could eat horseshoes and crap nails. And I'm dead serious, okay? What has been perpetrated ought to have triggered alarm bells clanging across the intel community. This issue was blatant and serious enough to have thrown up huge red flags. Now, the issues I'm talking about, all of you have seen, but you haven't put the level of importance on them because you weren't aware of them. I'm going to bring those to the forefront. Excuse me. So, let's start off with, and you ask why. Why am I so upset about this? All right. Little bit of foreknowledge for this, for anybody who's been hiding under a rock. Today we are confronted with the transgressions of a former Secretary of State, an individual who holds one of the highest security clearances possible in the vast superstructure of the American intelligence community. This individual has also been a First Lady, a Senator, both of which have the need to be indoctrinated and skilled in handling of high-level restricted and classified intel. Yet, we have witnessed the severe mishandling and gross negligence in the storage of and the transmission of classified information on a scale that is mind-boggling for any who have been initiated into this project or these programs, such as myself. Any excuse, such as lack of intent, okay, and you can picture me putting the air quotes up there, brings to mind immediately a lack of understanding as to the proper storage, handling, and transmission of said information. This may be an understandable, if not valid, excuse for a junior sensors operator in our military, most of which who are teenagers when they take their first post. But it is inconceivable when referring to an individual with decades of exposure to the system, especially one who held positions as First Lady, Senator, and Secretary of State. It's totally inconceivable. And for all of you who believe it is, you're a fool. Part of the defense strategy being mouthed by her pundits, including the director of the FBI, is that the information that may have been inadvertently compromised is such low intel value as to be of no use to those who wish to perpetrate harm on this nation. Statements made on this subject include that a C, in quotes, was marked on limited paragraphs in a small number of these emails. A C would indicate or is indicative of confidential information, and it is the lowest level of classification available. To this, Bubba Bill, her husband, Bill Clinton, ex-president of the United States, is on record, okay, and there's a 50-second YouTube video in the article that I'm speaking from, stands up and says, okay, Comey's statement on email classifications is the biggest line of bull crap I have ever heard, meaning nothing was classified, not even to the level of confidential. Here we go. Now we start to get into the meat and potatoes. What if I told you this was a lie? What if I could prove to you this was a heinous lie? What if I could prove this to you using recent congressional hearings and a video that's publicly available? And of course, that video is also in the article this is coming from. I am talking about a video of a congressional hearing session where it is clearly stated and part of the official record that portions of the information contained on this illegal and non-secure server and transmitted to or accessed by others via that server was of such a high level of classification and exclusivity that this congressional committee and, listen up people, the intelligence community inspector general himself did not possess a high enough clearance or the need to know to view this information or these emails. Let me go over that again. Some of the information contained on her email server was of such a high level of classification and exclusivity, because they're not always the same, okay, that this congressional committee and the intelligence community inspector general, the boss, the Inspector General of every intel organization in the United States didn't have a high enough clearance or the need to know to view this information. In order to be granted access, an individual would have to be read into, something I'm very familiar with, I've been read into so many programs, the appropriate need to know and the approved clearance. All right, let's continue. This is a level of clearance that supersedes even top secret, because it is all based on an individual's need to know. I don't care if you've got a top secret clearance, a TSSI, which is a top secret sensitive intelligence clearance. If you don't have the need to know, you will never know. It is restricted to an extremely small and controlled group of people. This level of clearance is called ORCON. This indicates originator-controlled information. Google it! Or intel so necessarily sensitive that only those with a very restricted and controlled need to know, regardless of your clearance, would ever have access. And in order to be granted access, would have to be read into the process by the selected few who limit its control. All right. Time for a question here. Can anybody listening to this truly believe Hillary was unaware of any of this? Especially with the high level of classification, the severely limited access, and the necessity to be read in required to even view it. That was question one. A little bit more information. And the real kicker. The total irony here is that even the name of the agency controlling this information was classified at such a level that this congressional committee was not allowed access to that information without first being read in. Yet, the Inspector General, in this hearing, acknowledges this information was shared with others via an unsecured server and emails who were not read in and did not possess the requisite clearances. Really? Now, at this point, I would suggest you guys, if you haven't seen this video, I believe Dave put the video up on his website. You can also go to the Liberty Beacon. The name of the article again is Red Flag, Classified Info and the Most Ominous Lie Hillary Has Ever Told. Look at this 7-minute video, because everything I just told you is recorded for posterity on YouTube in this video, but let me take this a few steps further. Okay? Answer me this. How many servicemen or average level intelligence department employees have lost their clearances, something required to do their job? And I have seen this happen. Been kicked out of their job or the service, or even prosecuted and levied prison terms for transgressions that pale in comparison to what has been detailed in this discussion so far. This breach of security goes well above what any serviceman or any average level intel employee could ever have perpetrated. Why, you ask? Because they, in fact, do not ever have access to information approaching this level of restriction or classification. Let me reemphasize that. Ever! Now, equipped with this information and the amplifying data that I've just given you, can you begin to understand my vast anger with a system I once belonged to for 3 decades and worked so hard, daily, okay, to adhere to for the safety of this country I swore an oath to protect, okay? Now, when you watch this video, there's something you need to look for. You probably won't, so I'm going to flag it to you. What you need to observe is just how uncomfortable the Inspector General of all the intel community of this country is in even talking about this information in any context. Any context. He squirms in his seat, his eyes go to the ceiling, they go to the floor, his voice dips down. He doesn't want to talk about this at all. It is that sensitive. This one transgression alone is an event of such heinous magnitude that it should carry mandatory, and it does, believe it or not, penalties of loss of employment, loss of clearance, with no possibility of reinstatement, and prosecution resulting in prison time. Fact! Mandatory! Yet, we are now presented with a government that is so corrupt, convoluted, or controlled that transgressions of this magnitude can be knowingly orchestrated. And if you push back on when I say knowingly, after the information I've given you, you're a fool. With those responsible receiving relative impunity from any charges or repercussions, and even allowed to run for president. Really? With the FBI director stating, and this is clearly seen in the video, you've all seen him say this, that it is quite possible, and I will tell you probable, okay, Hillary's private server was hacked by foreign and aggressive forces or services. His shooting down of her repeated claims that no classified data was ever stored or transmitted from said server, and that all relative emails were turned over to Congress. Here comes another big point, people. Listen up. That is physically impossible. Why? Because some of those emails were classified or restricted or con and well beyond Congress's ability to possess. It was impossible for her to turn them over to Congress. Or would she have, knowing how they would have incriminated her? And even leaving all politics aside, Hillary Clinton now is a proven, beyond a shadow of a doubt, danger to the safety of this nation. As a result, she should immediately be forced to disqualify herself based on what I've just told you as a presidential candidate and prosecutions for the above initiated. Now, we all know that's probably not going to happen. So at the very least, all Secret Service updates afforded to all presidential candidates should be halted immediately, as she is, again, a proven security risk. Known fact. Basically disqualifying her to hold the office of president. I'm almost done here, David. What the hell makes her any better than anyone else when it comes to the safety of America? What made her better than me, who towed the line, watched every word I said, watched everything I brought home, watched everything I did for 30 years because that was my job? Are we to believe that if you are running for president, laws stop applying to you? One more paragraph. For reasons of convenience and to isolate her dealings with the Clinton Foundation, she knowingly and willingly put the safety of this nation and those serving it in absolute danger with the release of such high-level or highly restricted information to unsecured individuals or individuals not read in. This is a fact stated in this video you will watch by this the head of all intel services, okay? There are even those already strongly alluding to information, which I have seen, that was readily available via hacking or transmitted by Hillary via her unprotected server, such as the location and movements of Ambassador Stevens just prior to the attack on Benghazi, thus compromising his safety, and other circumstances that may have tied and did tie into additional losses of life. This, my friends, is defined as making information available to the enemies of America or aiding and abetting the enemy. There is a very descriptive and damning term to describe this, my friends, and that is treason. Have I made my
point? Well, I'd also add it's murder. It's interesting that you mentioned the emails. Almost 6 months ago, Aaron Klein, formerly of WABC, and now he's the head of Breitbart's Jerusalem division, sent me a series of emails that he obtained under FOIA, and then they shut off the spigot. And I think he was one of the last ones to get this kind of information. And in it contained six emails that you just alluded to that broadcasted the location of Ambassador Stevens and where he would be traveling. These emails commenced in 2011.
Yep.
And I think that this was released to establish a pattern that this was her normal practice, so it couldn't be known, at least from the emails, that she set him up to be murdered by broadcasting where he would be in September of 2012.
Well, there are a lot of people that are saying that him being taken out of the picture was a convenience factor due to the movement of arms through the Benghazi facilities to Turkey and Syria. So it's a matter of, as the Clintons so often do, sweeping what is no longer of use to them but may come back to bite them in the proverbial butt further down the road, getting rid of it, sweeping it under the rug.
What I was told by my military contacts is that the word on Stevens, he was a CIA operative.
Yep.
He procured arms for Al-Qaeda in Libya to overthrow and kill Gaddafi.
Yep.
Who at that time was a legitimate sovereign leader. Don't tell me I don't like the guy, no. But he was murdered by our government. And also he was running guns. He was running, and I'm talking for profit, for side CIA ventures, running kids. Yeah, I'm talking child sex trafficking.
Yes, child trafficking, yes.
And he also, drugs, of course, the big three go together. And he was taking these ventures into Syria. Well, this was leaking out among the military. The military had knowledge of this. And as a consequence, he became a liability. This is why on no less than 100 occasions, he requested from his boss, Hillary Clinton, increased security. She cited budget reasons. Budget. From an administration that has doubled the national debt, and you can't provide this guy with a platoon of Marines? Are you kidding me?
We have two embassies in this on this planet right now, and two compounds, that have been funded to the tune of, I think one was over $60 million, that are sitting there like white elephants doing absolutely nothing. At the time he was screaming, pleading for additional security, money was flooding out to white elephants to pad the pockets of people she owed favors to, or people that wanted favors from her and were sending money to the Clinton Foundation. What was happening was, as you said, and I think, David, that a lot of, or at least some of the sources that you and I both share are probably common sources, but as you won't, I won't mention any of this, and I never do. But I seem to know a little bit more than the average bear on the street does. And remember, I worked in highly secured positions for three decades. So, yes, I still have friends, and we won't go into that. But if you stop to consider, okay, that the amount of money that was being spent on product, projects that absolutely would never come to fruition, the mere pittance that would have been spent to increase security were literally drops in a well the size of the state of Kansas, okay? And these things could have been taken care of very easily. Anybody who doesn't believe for one second that he became a liability and an inconvenience for the Clintons and everybody in her back pocket, as well as the Clinton Foundation, is in fact an idiot.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of idiots out there. This even goes a step further. Let me bring in this, and I've talked about this on the show more than once, but it's relevant in this context. As I mentioned, the knowledge of Stevens' side doings with the CIA, they were commonplace. And
yes,
so much so that the military was, they had a golden opportunity come up. It was a coup, a military coup of opportunity. And what ended up happening was that General Hamm, the commander of AFRICOM at the time, and Admiral Guyette, the commander of Carrier Task Force 3, both men who will later be replaced, their positions are so sensitive it takes an act of Congress to replace them. They were aware of this, and then they became aware of the attacks on the safe house. It was a CIA safe house. And so General Hamm was in communication with Admiral Guyette, and they said, you know, we're going to defy Panetta, who told them to stand down, and we're going to rescue Stevens. And just when they were ready to launch the operation, the drones from the ships and the troops from helicopters, the number twos in both commands, unknown to these commanders, were both CIA plants by Panetta, and they arrested General Hamm and Admiral Guyette and stopped this coup. Now, what they had hoped to obtain, because they hated Obama and they hated the administration, because by that point they had fired about 200 senior command officers. Today that's up to 300. They wanted Obama out, and this was a way to have a coup, because they figured that if they rescued Stevens, he would sing like a canary, because he knew that he was set out to be murdered and set up to die. And he would have sung like a canary, and this administration would have gone down like a submarine with screen doors. Sorry about the reference there.
Yeah, okay. I don't
Roger,
even like thinking about that.
But I know. But Roger, you know where I'm going with this.
I do.
And I got to tell you, we have so many dumbasses, excuse the expression, in the media. I went with this story, hesitated for 2 weeks, and I had two military sources in my ear simultaneously saying, Dave, go with this, go with this. We chose you because you'll be a man to go out and research and verify as you go. Well, my research was kind of on the limited side. There wasn't a lot out there, and I hesitated, and finally I got the ultimatum, and I said, yeah, I guess it's kind of like do or die now, and I thought my journalistic career will be over. And that's really what I thought. But as it turned out, the pieces started to fall into place that validated everything that I had said. And what I mean by the DAs, with the profane term I just used, I'm talking about the Glenn Becks of the world, who crucified me for 4 months. You don't have a shred of proof. There he goes, the tinfoil conspiracy theory, hat-wearing moron. And I got to tell you, Roger, I was vindicated at the end of the day, and not one of the people who criticized me ever gave me credit, ever apologized, ever acknowledged. No, you didn't criticize me, though. You weren't out there, you know. These people were eviscerating me in public.
I knew what you were saying was true.
People were all over me.
Well, you made a comment, and I want to extrapolate on that just a little bit further, about the 200, now up to 300 command-level officers that have either been removed or forced to retire because of they either didn't pass the litmus test, would they fire on American citizens, or or this administration, or the neocon liberals, which nowadays, for the first time in my entire life, I can put both of those together into one phrase. The neocon liberals out there had no use for, okay? I'm going to tell you something else that's happened that may far exceed that, because the service, the enlisted servicemen, far outnumber the officers in this country. Take a look at the number of senior non-coms that are getting out of the military, some of them mere months or just a few years prior to the point where they can collect a pension, because a lot of them don't believe there will be a pension there for them to collect the way this country is going. A lot of them will not sacrifice what they believe in and the oath they swore to this country by continuing to support what's going on in both the military and the political sharks, okay, swimming in a circle around what the Statue of Liberty. This is what's happening. We have a massive exodus of senior non-coms. But I want to take this on one more tack, okay, if you don't mind, David. I need for everybody who listened to all the information I just put out to understand the absolute importance of the information I put out to you. ORCON information is not necessarily the highest clearance, okay, on the planet. It is the most restricted. There may be people with TSSI clearances that cannot see it because they don't have the need to know and they haven't been read in. It is the most restrictive clearance out there. And even the name of the organization, and all of this is in that 7-minute video, you will see the chairman of the committee, this committee, who is interviewing the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community of the United States, saying, so let me get this right. We're not we don't have a high enough classification or haven't been read in to even know the name of the organization who's restricting this information. You The Inspector General of the Intelligence Community didn't have a high enough clearance or hadn't been read in. You didn't have the need to know. But yet Hillary made this information available to those who had not been read in, did not have the requisite clearance, and shared this information with them on a non-secured server. And the Inspector General clearly states, yes, what you need to understand is the magnitude of what you just heard. It blows everything you've heard about non-secured servers, everything you've heard about a few confidential emails, everything you've heard about lack of intent, right out of the water. This is massive.
Easy. Roger, you're killing our sound.
All right, I will. But I want to take
decibel
this.
Decibel lower, please.
This is the tact. David, you know me. This is how I get. I won't apologize for it, but I don't want to blow your needles up either. This is the point I wanted to make. This is the tack I'm going to. Okay? Our leaders are not going to do anything about this. All right? The FBI is not going to do anything about this. Obama's not going to do anything about this. It's not going to happen. It is left up to you and me. It is left up to we the people to bring together such a massive clamor that something has to be done about this. This is part of the reason for the massive exodus of all of these senior level non-coms. Listen to this. I constantly rant about we the people dropping the football and allowing all we suffer today via our apathy and ignorance. It is because we have literally acquiesced our power to these tyrants that we suffer. We could at any time step up and put a stop to any of this. This is what we were granted. This is what we were, given via the Constitution. If we allow the most dangerous individual to ever run for the vaunted office of president to occupy the Oval Office simply because we are too lazy to do the research on facts readily available, I just gave them to you, or too ignorant to see past the media's lies, which are easily discovered, then stop your bitching, because it is by far you who will shoulder the biggest amount of blame. Wake up before you, we the people, pound the final nail in the coffin of America.
Well, we've got three of the four nails in each corner of the coffin.
Yep.
And we don't have long to go. Roger, your opinion, and I'm asking everyone who comes on this show, will there be an election in November?
I think you and I had a short discussion about this the other day, and one of the few times we actually got a chance to talk. There's only one way there's going to be an election, and that is if Hillary wins. That's the only way there is going to be an election in this country, because, in fact, with her cognitive abilities being as bad as they are, and there's a lot of good, solid proof behind that, with her physical capabilities diminishing by the day, the woman has to be helped up on either side, held up as she climbs five steps, okay? With that, and the fact that if she gets in, it's basically a third term for Obama, she will be the ultimate puppet. So if Hillary... if it is a known fact that she can and will win, there will be an election. If for any reason enough of this comes forward enough that it precludes her, she has to be disqualified. She has to go to prison. She, even if she gets slapped hard enough, okay, for the security violations, that they have to revoke her security clearance, which automatically disqualifies her to take this the seat in the Oval Office. If Trump has any chance of winning at all, then you will see a state of emergency declared. Obama has already put every tool and every executive order in place he needs. You will see a state of emergency or martial law declared in this country, and the elections will be canceled. So the answer is twofold, David. It depends. And probably by then Hillary will be in depends. But I would tell you, the only way there will be an election is if Hillary is a shoo-in, if she is guaranteed the win. Otherwise, no, I can guarantee you there will not be an election.
That's my thinking, too. And we're really stepping out on a limb here because we don't have long to go.
No, we
don't.
Until
we have this election. Can Donald Trump overcome the massive voter fraud with no voter photo ID required many places and the electronic Diebold machines? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. The people can stand up at any point in time and say that every ballot has to be a handwritten ballot. The people, the actual polling captains of the polling stations, can actually demand that the votes be counted in their presence and be recorded in their presence. So that can happen. But I want to tell you something. Right now, what's happening is you're listening to the mainstream media constantly and continuously telling the people that Hillary is polling, even if it's only 5 or 6 points, ahead of Donald Trump. That is an absolute lie. That is absolutely the misdirection, redirection, and the propaganda that the mainstream media is bought and paid for to present to you. Is it the truth that the polls they're taking indicate that? Yes, it is. Is it the truth that the polling they're doing is in areas that are known to be predominantly Democrat and predominantly Hillary supporters? Yes. Is it also the truth that the questions they're asking are answered most positively by Hillary supporters? Yes. Is it the truth that these polls are being done with 1,000 to 1,500, always less than 2,000 people in a vast majority of the cases, which leads to a very inaccurate poll, especially with the qualifiers I just gave you? There's a gentleman out there who has an app, and I published an article about this not too long ago, that can automatically go online and poll 100,000 individuals. Now, one of the biggest reasons that these polls are so skewed is that people tend to answer questions in accordance to what they see on mainstream media because their information is not, okay, reserved. These people who do the polls know who you are. They know where you live. They know what your email address is. So, and these people know that take these polls. This guy has an app that goes out to 100,000 people who remain totally anonymous. It is based on questions that are not biased in any way, shape, or form, and it scatters itself across the globe with no geometric bias whatsoever. When these polls have been conducted, over 75% of the polling consistently goes to Trump. Listen to me, I'm going to say that one more time. With 100,000 people being polled, consistently over 70%, and in a large number of cases, over 75%, favors Trump as a shoe-in for president. If those kind of numbers can go to polls where hand ballots are demanded by the local precincts, and those precinct captains and the precinct committees demand hand counting and recording, Donald Trump absolutely will be the next president of this country. I will read one small paragraph again. If we the people allow the most dangerous individual to ever run for the vaunted office of president, okay, without stepping up, because I consistently rant about how we the people have dropped the football and allowed all we suffer today via our apathy, our ignorance, or acquiescing our power. If we step up and make sure these elections are, okay, 100% above board by paper ballots and by precinct counting and recording, Trump will win by a landslide. That's my answer, David, and it's a fact.
I agree with you. I think getting there is problematic.
Yes.
Look at the Clinton Foundation.
It's up to us.
The Clinton Foundation is so extensive, so massive, that they can literally hire people to go to nearly every polling place in poll shenanigans. No one even knows how much money's in this foundation for sure, because it has its wealth spread throughout the world in offshore accounts that are secret. What we're seeing could be trillions, Roger. I mean, this is what I've been told by insider bankers, that we don't even know the extent of the bribery.
They have billions. They control trillions. But You're talking about how extensive is their influence. I just went through an entire spiel where I proved unequivocally that Orcon information admitted by the Inspector General of the U.S. Intelligence Services was compromised openly and knowingly by Hillary Clinton, and we have an entire justice system, an entire intel system, and, okay, the executive branch of this nation, which has totally turned a blind eye to it, because the Clinton Foundation has so much dirt on so many people in so many powerful places, and you know damn right well why Bill stepped onto that plane, onto that tarmac when he did, and talked to the lady he talked to, which was so illegal, it's insane. When he stepped on there to talk to her, what he was saying is, I will bring the entire American government down around you. You better make sure my wife doesn't get prosecuted. That's the reach of Clinton Foundation. And
I would agree, but it even goes further. I mean, Loretta Lynch facilitated the non-prosecution of HSBC money laundering involving the Clinton Foundation, and also James Comey was on the board of directors.
Yeah, he was on the board of directors, yes. There's not a conflict of interest there, right? Come on. We're tinfoil hat wearers, David, right? We're just, you know, we're crazy people, right? We gotta be.
No. No. We're not in the mafia. And this is a mafia. They may stand up and say the pledge and wear their suits, but they're more mafia than the mafia.
Obama doesn't put his hand over his heart when the pledge is made or when the Star Spangled Banner is played, remember? He stands there with his hands down to his side. You know how badly I would just like to jump into one of those pictures one time, and excuse my French, I apologize for the word I'm about to use, but I make no apologies for using it. I just want to bitch slap him so bad. I really do.
I agree. Oh, careful, careful. Secret Service. Come with us, please, Roger.
I really don't care. I'm 62 years old, and let me tell you how I feel about that. If somebody comes up to me tomorrow because of the things I say, the things I just said on your show, and the things that I pretend, not pretend, portend, and pops a cap into my head, when they finally get up to my body, they're going to see a huge smile on my face, and they're going to wonder, we just popped a cap in this guy's head. Why is he smiling? Because the last thought that went through my head was, I obviously have succeeded at such a magnitude that they considered me to be an immense threat. Damn it, I succeeded. I will go out with the biggest smile you've ever seen on my face, David.
Well, let me ask you a question, and this is something that'll probably get us both in trouble. But Hillary Clinton is a liability to the New World Order group. I mean, she's a liability now. Because of her criminal background, other things are attaching to her revelations that the powers that be don't want known.
Yes.
You know, what I have to wonder, the last time we had a presidential candidate be in a position to reveal this much, either on purpose or in her case inadvertently, that candidate ended up shot in the head, and I'm talking about Bobby Kennedy.
Yep.
Do you think Hillary Clinton's life could be in danger from the globalists?
Not until after she gets elected. Once she gets elected, once they feel that she has reached that point, once the switch is thrown, what you're going to see, because her running mate, they had no love lost whatsoever. The Clintons supported him in his run for governor in a huge fashion. Okay, they put a lot of money into his campaign. Excuse me. And then what happened? Okay, when it was his turn to return the favor, he supported another candidate totally. Hillary has absolutely no love lost for her running mate, but I'm quite sure she was told that if you want to stay out of jail, okay, sure, you've got crap on us, but we want some leverage. So this will be your running mate. He will be your, I don't know, he will hold the whip. Once she gets into office, if she's ever determined to be that much of a liability, then all of a sudden her health will deteriorate to the point, whether it's by poison, whether it is by whatever, that she will become either totally catatonic or she will pass away. and their minion will charge forward with the bravado most bulls would be jealous of. Was that the answer you were looking for?
Yeah, I'm ducking under the table right now. Tell me where I'm wrong, David. I think she's a liability.
I don't make answers I won't back up, ever.
This is why, if you ask me what scenario is more likely, I say no election, because she's too big a liability. She can't get into a debating scenario with Donald Trump. She can't. She won't survive.
I wrote an article about that. Okay, the Hillary and Trump debate, Yahoo, the circus is in town. Trump wants nothing better than to be onto the stage one-on-one with her. It would be worse than a cattle going into the hamburger machine. He would literally grind her up and spit her out, and they know this. Her team knows this. 270-plus days without a press conference, a real press conference so far. And by now, any other presidential candidate would have had several debates already. She might do one or two, and she wants them to be sit-down debates because she's not strong enough to stand up for 2 hours.
Yeah, the rat poison she's taken won't keep her on her feet. Hey, look, we only got about 45 seconds left, and I wanted you to very quickly tell people how they can follow your good work.
TheLibertyBeacon.com and about 15 other proprietary websites and at least 16 other partner websites, a TV show, radio shows. We are here to support anything that harms, to push against anything that harms humanity. We are, our mission is to absolutely destroy programmed ignorance. And this is why we have friends like David Hodges. Remember, thelibertybeacon.com, the Liberty Beacon Project.
I love them. I love your publications. Well, your website's gone through a nice overhaul. It just looks terrific. I mean, it's so professional. I just love it. But anyway, thelibertybeacon.com. How can people catch your TV show?
It's TLB TV, and we're moving it off of Conscious Consumer Network, and we're starting our own TLB TV network, and that will be launching in less than a week.
You're going to have to keep me updated on that. I definitely want to follow.
Oh,
that.
You're going to be a guest. There's no doubt about that.
You can't let my face on TV. You'll have people.
Who says
you want to empty out the cities in before martial law? Just put my face on TV.
Who says we can't have a little comedy with the information? I love
you. Know
you,
who
David,
you want to have
really
on?
Do.
You want to have Katie on? Katie used to be.
Oh,
on
we're
going to
do that.
Restless.
Oh, we're going to do that. Yeah. I think Katie's cool as hell. I do. Thank you, Katie. Yeah.
That makes two of us. Well, Roger.
Thank you, Roger.
I appreciate your zeal, your enthusiasm, and bringing all this to light.
Are your VU meters still okay? I didn't peg the needles and blow them, did I?
You know, we'll find out if we're still on the air. But, Roger, thanks for joining us, and I'll catch up with you soon, particularly about the TV venture.
All right.
Take care.
Bye,
take
y'all.
Care, my friend. And everybody else, we'll be back in hour number 3 with Katie. And Katie's got some really interesting health information.